your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave to thee. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger which shall burn forever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day. Thou knowest, that which came out of my lips was right before thee. Be not a terror unto me, thou art my hope in the day of evil. Let them be confounded that persecute me, but let me not be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil, and destroy them with double destruction. Thus said the Lord unto me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by the which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say unto them, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all Judah, all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day to do no work therein, then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places about Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin and from the plain and from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices and meat offerings and incense and bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. But if ye will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. All right, well, in the first section, which I have as verses 1 through 4, we have the gravity of the situation which is at hand and is declared by the Lord. Notice that the sin of Judah and Jerusalem is written with a pen of iron with the point of a diamond. Well, that's really strong language to say that what they have done is indelible. They got the Sharpie out, right? You know what a Sharpie is, right? That's that indelible marker that we use on things today. Well, this is even more indelible than that of a Sharpie. It is scratched in with a pen of iron and a point of a diamond. And where is it written? It is written upon their hearts and upon the horns of their altars, it says. Of course, it's talking there about the idolatrous altars that witness to the depravity of their hearts. Right? So this is indeed a very strong indictment. The Lord then laments upon His mountain. Oh, you know what? Before that, let me just say this. Brothers and sisters, we are always writing, aren't we? We're always writing our testimony. People say, you know, would you write out your testimony? Listen, we're always writing out our testimony. That which comes out of our mouths, that which our hands find to do, that which we think, we're always writing out our testimony. We must examine what is being written, right? All right, secondly then, the Lord speaks a lament upon His mountain, that is Jerusalem, and especially especially as the place of His habitation. He says, "You will be spoiled." He says that it is the Lord, "I will give away your substance." It's the Lord Himself that that causes Jerusalem to be carried away because of the sins of the inhabitants thereof. All right, so then the second section, verses 5 through 11, note the condemnation. The condemnation is trusting in man and making flesh one's arm, that is, one's strength, focusing on the ability of ourselves. To do so is to have your heart depart from the Lord. It is idolatry. Making flesh your arm means making flesh your God. Human prowess, human strength, making that your strength makes that your God. Whatever it is that you look to, whatever it is that you're loyal to, whatever it is that you fall back to for a place of safety, that's your God. So it is indeed idolatry. All right, and then this man will be destitute. He will receive the fruit of trusting in his strength. And what is our strength? Where is it going? Where is our intellectual prowess going? Where is the strength of our arm going? At 54 years old, I can tell you it's not going very well. Or maybe it's going all too quickly. You understand what I mean there. To trust in those things is to trust in sand that at the next windstorm won't be there anymore. But to set one's confidence upon the Lord is indeed, as our Lord Jesus Christ says, to be fixed upon the rock which cannot move. All right, so then secondly, he has another metaphor. It's the metaphor of the heath as opposed to the tree. The heath is a scrubby little brush that lives in the desert, in a dry and salty marshland. Of course, they have lots of dry and salty marshland. I was on the internet after I was working on this reading for a while, I thought, well, I'll just zoom into the Dead Sea and look around the Dead Sea. You know, it's called the Dead Sea for a reason. It is. It's called the Dead Sea for a reason. And there are only a few critters that can live there. And in the waters of the Dead Sea, there's nothing that lives except for these little teeny brine shrimp. It is so salty, so mineral rich, that nothing else can live there but one small little almost good for nothing organism. And you know what's really interesting about that is that the plants that grow around there also have that same kind of uselessness. The only thing that's useful is the salt that they mine out of there, and only that in a very small concentration on your food, right? Okay, so what happens then is you have this scrubby bush that if you were to go up and to see, you know, take a look at that bush, you'd have to immediately leave and wash yourself because of the salt that's all over you and, you know, just literally drawing the moisture out of your body. It is a place of dryness and death. And contrasted to that is the tree that is evergreen. It's by a river. It's full, it's moist, it's pleasant, there's a cool wind rather than the dust and the salt and the chapped and the dryness. And that's the metaphor that the Lord draws for those who trust in the Lord against those who do not. Then, thirdly, in this center section, do you know your own heart? What do you know about your own heart? What does the prophet tell you about your own heart in this passage? It's one of those famous scripture memory verses, isn't it? The heart is what? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Desperately wicked. This is how the Lord describes us. And then, as it were, to magnify the indictment, first of all, he says, who can know it? And then he says, I, the Lord, try the reins and the heart. And so that desperateness of heart that we plunge to the base of our consciousness and refuse to acknowledge, the Lord says what? I know it. I know it. And so the eyes of him with whom we have to do are wide open. And when the Lord receives us in Christ Jesus, he receives us because of his grace, not because of anything in us. Because our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But it is the Lord who tries the heart. So we are not objective, we are self-deceived, we are naturally wicked. Now if we believe this, if we really believed this about our hearts, would it change our behavior? Would we not then saturate our minds with God's thoughts and God's words instead of our natural, desperate wickedness? Would we not pray and pray more to be delivered from this desperate estate? Would we not seek the help of others? And would we not cease being defensive at correction and rebuke, but would welcome these instead? And the Lord says, I try the heart. I try the reins. All right, so then lastly, those that seek to profit by unlawful means will not see their intended end, but will be destitute. In other words, that God who sees the hearts and reins is also a God of justice. All right, then in verses 12 through 18, Jeremiah addresses the Lord and asks the Lord to spare him, to protect him from his persecutors. He vindicates his cause, because he has had no ill will toward his persecutors, has not rejoiced in their coming suffering. And so these are good examples to us and good indicators of the heart. Then he says, the Lord is the fountain of living waters, and all they that forsake him shall perish in the earth. And then there is a just imprecation. Let my persecutors, Jeremiah says, be confounded. Now we must be cautious here. As psalm singers, we are not strangers to imprecations. But our imprecations must always be directed at the Lord's enemies and not our own. Right? The Lord's enemies and not our own. And let them be our enemies because they are the Lord's enemies. Right? Okay, so we must remember that. Then the final section is very, very interesting because Jeremiah, in answer to this prayer, Jeremiah is put in a place of greater persecution. The Lord is actually turning up the heat on the people, and he's using his prophet to do it in that Jeremiah is commanded to go stand in the gate of Jerusalem where the kings go in and out. And he's just got one message to preach. Did you hear what that message was? Bring no burden in on the Sabbath day. Now, we're in chapter 17 of Jeremiah here. And from chapter 1 through chapter 16, and at the beginning of chapter 17, we have heard an entire catalog of sins against Judah and Jerusalem, haven't we? All kinds of sins: idolatry, rapaciousness, theft, murder, adultery. All of these things have been laid out before us in chapter 1 through the beginning of chapter 17. And yet, when the Lord commands Jeremiah to go and to correct the people, he corrects them on one thing. One thing. What is it? The keeping of the Sabbath day. He corrects them on one thing. The keeping of the Sabbath. And why is that? My notes are falling down here. Why is that? Why does the Lord tell Jeremiah to correct them on the Sabbath day? As I've told you before, I think our Westminster Divines have it about right when they say that in keeping of the Sabbath day, there is a greater easement to keeping the rest of the commandments of God. Because if we will keep the Sabbath day, even though there is less light of nature for the Sabbath, right? I mean, you get up in the morning and you can understand how natural man would say, don't steal my stuff. You can understand how natural man would say, hey, don't take my life away. You can understand how the natural man would say, hey, that's my wife, not yours. You can understand how natural man would say, you know, don't lie about me. You shouldn't do that. And you can understand how maybe for his own purposes he might be inclined to return those feigned obediences. But you can't understand how a natural man would rise up and say, you know what, it's the seventh day, I should have a Sabbath of the Lord. The natural man doesn't do that. There's less light of nature for it. And yet, the Lord says to Jeremiah here, if you will instruct my people in the keeping of the Sabbath, and if they will turn and keep the Sabbath, better to keep the rest of the commandments of God. Sabbath keeping has a great effect upon all of your obedience, brothers and sisters. Sabbath keeping has a wondrous effect on keeping the rest of the commandments of God. And so let us not neglect our fourth commandment duties, because in that they are duties, they are also blessings. When we attend upon the worship, when we prepare to meet the Lord, when we hear God's word preached, when we dedicate the seventh day as God has required to Him, when we do those things, we only make it easier to obey the rest of the commandments of God, to increase, to advance, to progress in our keeping of the rest of the commandments. The Sabbath day is a wondrous tool that God has given us for all of our obedience. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms. Turn with me to Psalm 34, 1 through 10, page 64 in your Psalters.